And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bubba and the Bloom, episode 313. Continuing our position previews for the 2026 fantasy baseball season, we head to the mound. Starting pitching preview, part one. Pitchers 1 through 30, tons of listener questions, and much, much more. But before we get to that, housekeeping. You can find me on Twitter at BDNTrick, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, and on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom. And my co-host, as always, on Twitter at RyanBHQ, Ryan Bloomfield. How we doing?
Doing pretty good. We're a little under the weather, not too bad, but we'll adrenaline will kick in here very shortly, I'm sure, as it usually does for all of our shows. I'm in two drafts at once, and you're in both of them too, which just not ideal. I broke my rule to only do one at a time, but other than that, doing well, man. How are you doing?
Doing well. It's a Tuesday. Moving through the week slowly, it feels like, but can't complain. It's weather's nice out here, so I'm not going to complain compared to the rest of the country that has been dealing with some nastiness out there. So we're doing fine. Had a good weekend. Not a whole lot of complaints around here. Hopefully the flu stays away from my house.
So. Yeah, wouldn't wish it on. Would not wish it on you. Busy show tonight, man. I counted before we started. We've got 18 listener questions, which is awesome.
Maniacs.
Maniacs. And they're all really good. It's actually turned into like a really nice way to kind of recap everything going through it. So appreciate everyone in the Discord who sent us questions. We'll get to all of them for sure.
Yeah, since we usually hit on it throughout the show, but if we don't, you make sure we cover the rest. So it's always a big plus in that regard. Before we go through the first 30 pitchers coming off the board in your draft champions drafts, a couple little things here. PitchCon starts this week, on Thursday through Sunday from the fine people at pitcherlist.com, raising money for ALS research. The goal of $10,000. Once again, there'll be presentations all throughout the days via video. We'll become on their podcast platform the following week. We'll be on their YouTube page the following week. But if you want to catch it live, you go to twitch.tv/pitcherlist, or you should be able to also catch it on pitcherlist.com/pitchcon. So check those out. You can make donations throughout the day. You'll be reminded of this plenty. But we, Ryan, myself, will be doing an episode of Bubba and the Bloom on Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. on the Best Side Pacific time. And it'll be just like we did last year, reviewing like kind of like targets and whatnot at each offensive position.
Yeah, Friday at 5. It's almost like Pollock. It's almost like we have a persona here that with the happy hour shift. Yep. It'll be good. We're basically going to run through kind of like what we've done all of our hitter episodes. It's going to be a little bit more rapid fire, just position by position, general strategy, maybe a target or two, and use similar boards that you listeners have seen from us the last 2-3 weeks with each of these positions. We're going to kind of speed race through all those and fit that in with an hour at PitchCon. So can't wait, man. It's going to be fun for a great cause. Like you said, we're giving away. So if you donate money, you are entered into a batch raffle of pretty nice prizes that are out there. So if you are fortunate enough to win one of the prizes, where we are giving away a Patreon membership, but there's a ton of really good prizes. So donate if you're able. It all goes to ALS research, and it's 4 days of honestly really good stuff. I try and catch as much as I can. The weekend's a little bit tougher for me, just not around the computer as much, but try and kind of have it on the background whenever I can. PitchCon's really good, so highly recommend you guys checking it out.
Yep, and we'll remind you guys on Thursday, of course, to come check that out. Other bit of housekeeping news, just wanted to remind everybody, Baseball HQ, they have their draft prep subscription rolling right now. Get you the coverage on Baseball HQ, full site access starting the day you sign up through the end of April. So it gets you the rest of draft season and the first month of the season, full access to the site. You get the projections that Ryan obviously uses. I'm trying to steal your lines here. All the content and much, much more. And Ryan, what's the promo code to get you $10 off that subscription?
The promo code is Bubba26. Bubba.
Bubba26 is correct. That is correct. But it's obviously we're biased. Why are we biased, Ryan?
We both write for this site. We make nothing from this, but we do. We appreciate Baseball HQ sponsoring our listener leagues as well. So huge shout out to them. Yeah, Bubba 26 gets you $10 off draft prep full site through and tools projections, yada yada, through April. So it's nice you get kind of the you get the draft season stuff, but then you get the in season things as well. So thank you to Baseball HQ for that and for sponsoring the listener leagues. And listener league-wise, we're still waiting on links from the NFBC, but hopefully in like the next day or so, we did our reveal show for Patreon members on Friday. Last time I saw you, you were in a tuxedo tee, fielding work calls.
Yeah, I was. Yeah, that was this.
I was not fielding work calls.
Heck of a Friday.
So we revealed those leagues on Friday. Everyone has at least been notified through that and a Patreon post of which slot you're in. And we should get links pretty soon to actually get you signed up through the NFBC.
Yep, and just a reminder, Ryan started his speculator column for the year last week. I had my first ALPT tomorrow drop. Things are coming hot and heavy. I'll have my second PT tomorrow, I believe, next week. So then it'll soon be every week, and we're back to business. Next thing you know, I'll be doing daily matchups, and between me and you, we'll probably have something on the website almost every day of the week. So it'll be back to normal around there, which is always good. All right, a couple bits of news before we get to the top 30 pitchers off the board for the 2026 baseball season. Sir Anthony Dominguez, the White Sox, I think stunned people, at least me, on this, but it felt like they've been very active this offseason. Kudos to them. It seemed like they were kind of done. It's been quiet. They bring in Sir Anthony Dominguez on a two-year deal, and they flat out said right out the gate, Sir Anthony will be the closer to start the season for the White Sox, which if you use Ryan's ADP tracker, things changed quickly, Ryan.
Very quickly. Went as so in the tracker, I highlight the max and mins. The earliest picks are highlighted in green over the last 20 drafts for every player. Sir Anthony Dominguez was recently picked 88th overall in a 15-team draft and hold. So, I mean, that is somewhat of a reflection, of course, of just the bonkers closer prices in draft and holds right now. In the league that we are in, we started our draft and hold yesterday. It's already in the 11th round. But Sir Anthony, what, went in the 9th round? Something like that. So weird to see, but I kind of see it depending on how aggressive your league is in terms of drafting closers. I think obviously the vote of confidence that the White Sox coming right out and saying Sir Anthony is the guy, that for me goes a long way. Role is everything for closers. And I think Sir Anthony Dominguez is not dominant, but I think he's good enough to hold down the throne for a good chunk of the season, if not the entire season. So I need to update my rankings, but we have Jordan Leisure 23rd. He obviously goes down. Now I would probably put Sir Anthony Dominguez right behind like Dennis Santana, probably like closer number 20 for me, something like that.
Top of my head, that's close. I'd have to tinker with mine some more as well, which the plan is to have that done by the end of this week. But Sir Anthony will definitely enter the chat, as they say, because he wasn't really involved beforehand. It is a bummer because I was loving the Jordan Leisure price. I was taking that as a RP2 or 3 in a lot of early drafts. Those are the we get a lot of value in drafts and a lot of not so great situations after the fact in drafts when you draft early. It's just kind of par for the course. The other one that stunk, and I've mentioned him, I think, on a post 500 we did, or I know I mentioned him with Carter and Rick Graham on my reliever show. I loved Mike Vassell as a
round guard. Right.
Big fan of that because his skills are really good. I think his skills are still really good. It's just another extra person to have to leap over to get saves in that bullpen, but we'll see how that pans out.
Yeah.
The Giants, they actually opened their pocketbooks. Shocker. They signed Harrison Bader to a two-year deal, and I actually love this move from a baseball standpoint. They brought in some pitchers that pitched to contact and need good defense behind them, and Harrison Bader's been one of the best defensive outfielders in baseball over the last few years and really could solidify himself as a stud center fielder in San Francisco. It'll move Jung Ho Lee to right field, who hadn't really played center field until he came to America, which is just makes me shake my head at the Giants even more. So it looks like it's an Elliot Ramos – Bader Lee outfield with likely Drew Gilbert as the fourth outfielder and Luis Matos odd man out on this one, Ryan.
Yeah, probably sucks the most for Luis Matos. I mean, I feel like Harrison Bader was going to sign somewhere. It's just a matter of time. But as you get deeper and deeper and closer to spring training, you start to worry at least a little bit. I don't know. I mean, what do you think about his fantasy value? Like, I do think for all the talk of the park, and like we've talked with like Rafael Devers and Willie Adames, like they have enough power to where I don't know if the park matters that much. Bader, on the other hand, did have a very nice uptick in barrel rate last year, up to 10%. Again, league average is like 8.5, but consistently below average raw power. I feel like he's someone who might get hurt by that park a little more than like an actual pure power hitter.
I don't think so. And a couple reasons. Like, if you believe StatCast, X home runs, he had 17 home runs last year, should have had 17 in San Francisco, is what it said. But the reason I believe in this more is he's a big-time pull hitter guy. Last year is almost 46%. It was 47% the year before. It's been over 40% pretty much his whole go-round. Last year, he had a 15% home run to fly ball, which was his best of his career. But that also went with that barrel rate you mentioned. It was 10.5% the year before. It's been at least 10% or better in all but two seasons. So he's got good pull power, is what I'm going with. Is it elite by any means? No. But that ballpark, if you pull the ball to left field, is not nearly as bad as going to. That's the thing I'm going with. Like, is he ever going to be a 25 to 30 home run guy? No. But could he get you 15 to 20 still? I think so. I really do. If he plays enough. And more importantly, the dude can run. And we don't know what this coach will do, but I have a feeling being a young guy, he's going to try to take advantage of that on this team. I think he's going to want to run. So I think Bader has the potential to be like a 15-15 guy, maybe slightly better, which, you know, he's going pretty cheap right now. It'll start coming up. But still, I don't think he's going to break the bank when it comes to ADP. And he should play pretty much every day because they need that defense in center field. So I like it. Just don't expect, like, last year it might be a career year for Harrison Bader. So just keep that in mind, too.
That's fair. Fair enough. The interesting thing is Bader hasn't really moved much in ADP since the signing. Like, overall, his ADP has been around 330. A few drafts where he's gone around 300. So maybe you've got to go that early to get him now. But that's not too much of an uptick in price there.
Round 20, round 21 for a potential everyday outfielder. That's pretty darn good, actually.
And one that probably isn't going to hurt you in any cat. I mean, we talked about that. That was a theme of our outfield episode, right? It's like, you're going to get someone who at least has modest five category production, and that's and everyday playing time as we get later and later into the outfield pool, especially after that magic cliff of like ADP 200. Those are fewer and harder to find. So talking myself into Harrison Bader, actually.
Yep. Don't hate it. Don't hate it at all. All right. Let's shift from bats to pitching. I was going to say something else, but we'll go to pitching here. Already top 30 on our preview part one. Ryan, it's a lot of green, and it should be for the top 30. What are we looking at here?
All right. So, yes, top 30 by NFBC ADP over the last month. And, yeah, everything's color-coded. ERA, whips, and strikeouts. I did omit wins. We've got a good listener question on that. We'll talk about kind of projecting wins. But we'll decide to leave that off for space purposes. But, yeah, a lot of Oregon Duck green on this one. This is all color-coded based on the entire starting pitching pool. So you would hope that you're not drafting really anyone with white or even a smidge of Indiana Hoosier red. So I don't know, a couple ways to take this. I think just real quick, though, one of the first things I like to look at is just how many starting pitchers are getting taken by which points in the draft each year. And it's a pretty clean, like we're showing the top 30. There's two columns here again for the YouTube crowd, top 15 on the left, the next 15 on the right. Freddie Peralta is your 15 starting pitcher off the board by pick 60. So roughly in a 15 teamer, if you're wanting to grab your SP1, you are having to do that in the first four rounds, which is what I think we've seen in a lot of drafts. And then the next 30 is kind of symmetrical. It goes basically Kevin Gausman is your SP30, and he's going at pick 116. If we just round up to 120, it's basically the same thing. So the market is basically taking on average a starting pitcher in the first four rounds and then SP2 in the second four rounds. And I'm speaking 15 teamers. These would be the first five and the next five rounds for 12 teamers. That's kind of been on track with what I've been doing too, because you're also trying to grab a closer at this point. You're also trying to get, we talked about early shortstops, early outfield. It's very nice in the first couple of rounds. So That kind of tracks with how at least I've been drafting so far, is kind of getting your two starters by 120-ish and trying to get one by 60.
Yep, that makes sense, unless you're mean. You get one in round six and one in round like 7 or 8. So,
hey, that's how you roll. That's what you did in our current draft, right?
That's what I'm saying. And honestly, didn't hate it. So it worked out for me. But then I had a closer earlier, so
yeah,
it all checked out to the way I do things. But one thing I look at on this board every time, it's a broken record with me, but who's projected to get the big strikeout numbers? Because when we do part two on Thursday, it's going to start getting bleak quick. You're a lot of like 150, 160 guys, which is good. Don't get me wrong. But if you want to get your strikeouts, this is another reason why guys take pitchers early. You only have five or six guys projected over 200 strikeouts, period. Mm-hmm. Which says a lot. Then you got a handful of 190s and 180s. But those are the guys you want to start targeting, because you can fall behind the strikeouts very quickly. And those are harder and harder to accumulate, because if you're in a fab league, then you start streaming two start guys and your ratios get blown
snowball.
Up. And
it just turns snowball.
Into yep. a whole problem. So that's why there's a lot of people that promote taking pitching early. That's why I have whip problems, probably, because I don't. But yeah, these are the games we play.
You've always had whip problems, Bubba. Yes, it's okay, though.
Yes, I do. But yeah, this is going to be an elite board for the most part. And the one caveat we'll probably say a million times on the show, these are projections. Projections suck at projecting ratios. So just keep that in mind. These ones actually aren't that bad compared to, I think, when we first looked at projections earlier in the year. Maybe that's with Ben on Bench with Bubba. They look like they might have fine-tuned a little bit here as you put Oopsie, the bat, and depth charts together. It looks a little more realistic, I'll say.
I would agree with that. That's the benefit of kind of aggregating these projections into a single thing. So, yeah, your point on strikeouts is spot on. You can kind of see on the board that is a pretty steady drop in Ks as you go down the list, with the exception of whip killer Dylan Cease. But
my SP1, baby.
We'll get there.
Round six.
Another thing that I've noticed, we definitely noticed this when we streamed our auction draft and hold, I guess that was 2 weeks ago. Yeah. There's a clear top three, of course. I think if you're listening to the show at this point, you know that Scooble, Skeens, and Crochet are your clear top three. There are like 10 pitchers that go within a span of 15 picks. SP, starting with like Logan Gilbert at 37 down through Freddie Peralta. It's a pretty like robust, like second tier of starting pitching, which is good in terms of like draft mapping and draft planning. You don't want your draft plan to hinge on one or even two or three guys. It's nice to know that you will, you know, and we will nitpick some of these guys as we go through the episode tonight. It's nice to know that there are a bevy of options for you to grab your SP1 if you don't go the early route with Skeens, Scoobler, Crochet.
And what I would add on to that point is, after the top three, that next 12 you mentioned, they go in a ton of different orders.
Yes.
Like it's this is the ADP. Blob.
Yeah.
This is the ADP, but it's like it goes Yamamoto, Sanchez, Gilbert, Sale, Bump Brown, just for sale in the next five. They'll probably go in a different order on like almost every draft. Like in the next five drafts, they make five different orders of how that plays out. So just keep that in mind as well. Guys will have their preferences. Like Logan Webb will be somebody's SP1. Like there'll be a lot of just crazy things taking place along the way.
That would be my SP1 in our draft. Logan Webb's awesome, man.
I love
Logan Webb. We'll talk about Logan
Webb. I love Logan Webb. I had no problems with Logan Webb. Yeah. All right. Anything else you want to get rocking and rolling?
No, let's do it.
All right. Your top five coming off the board, starting with an ADP of 6 through 27. Tarek Skubal, Paul Skeens, Garrett Crochet, Yoshi Yamamoto, and Christopher Sanchez. I will say this much. Skeens an ADP of 10, and Crochet with an ADP of 11. And if you look at the ADP tracker, Ryan, they fluctuate quite a bit between the two of them. Like it's very off and on. And we actually seen we've seen Scooble go at pick 3 recently in our draft. So there's a lot of moving and shaking with these top guys.
There are. I think the question you need to ask yourself is like, so we consider obviously all three are really good. Got to sit here and say, am I willing to take one of these three and kind of bite the opportunity cost of not getting a first round bat? And for me, I've got them ranked Scooble, Crochet, then Skeens. I I think Scooble and Crochet are worth it in terms of how much they separate from the next 12 or whatever starting pitchers that would be available to you in the first three or four rounds. I think that that separation is enough for me to do it. I don't know about with Skeens, just because the wins only had 10 wins last year. Pittsburgh may be a little bit better, so we'll see. But that's kind of how I view it, is I'm willing to kind of do a Scooble or Crochet in the first round, because again, that's what it's going to cost you. I feel like the gap between them and the rest of the pitching pool is big enough to where, again, they have to stay healthy, but you can really, you can set yourself apart very quickly early in the draft.
Yeah, no, I agree. I had Scooble, Crochet, and Skeens as well. It's the wins thing, which maybe we're all overblowing it because we're all going on the same page, but we, I think we can all at least,
I mean,
we can all
sit
together. You
only had 10 last year, man. Like, that's rough.
I only say we could all be overblowing it just because the, you know, wins are so hard to predict. Now, I agree. There's a reason we have it there, because he only had the 10 wins last year, and the Pirates are the Pirates. So, like, they could be a little better, but what's having 12 wins? Like, that's still, when you look at what Scooble and, like, last year, Crochet had 18 wins. Like, that goes a long ways in getting things done. So, and I don't see the Red Sox being worse. So, that kind of is a big differentiator. And then you got Scooble, back-to-back Cy Young's. Pretty elite stuff there. So let's talk about the next two then. You got Yamamoto, you got Christopher Sanchez. Yamamoto, really good, especially as the year went on in the postseason, just elite stuff there. Christopher Sanchez was the high riser in ADP last year, and he backed up every inch of that and some, even with the scary forearm situation. Both were great. Both were very, very good. How do you break these down? I don't have my rankings up. I think I have Sanchez 4, Yamamoto 5, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, Yamamoto for me, I haven't drafted him yet. I do, and again, I say this every year, and I say I shouldn't do this, but I'd say it anyway. I do worry about going from 90 innings to 211, including postseason last year for Yamamoto. It's a huge jump for someone that has had some injury issues in the past, but from a pure per inning thing, I understand why Yamamoto's 25. Pitching on the Dodgers is going to help a ton. We just talked about wins. That's going to be there for Yamamoto. Sanchez, for me, I love Christopher Sanchez. He's been my guy like the last 2 years. I don't see him separating as much from the rest of this pack to where I'm taking him with a second round pick, if that makes sense. Like I think he's just as, he's roughly in the same group as these next 10 starting pitchers that we'll talk about from like 30 to 60. So I'm just not ending up with Sanchez just because I'd rather get a better bat or a clear RP1 and then wait a round or two and grab a Hunter Brown, a Sale, a Webb, etc. So that's just nothing really against Sanchez. It's more just the depth of the pool right behind him and so many options there. Just the way the market's shaking out. I'm not going there too often.
Yeah, I usually don't. I did take him in a recent draft, not the one of the two we're in right now, but I'm on the turn. That's the only draft I've ever had the top pick in, so I took him there. If you want an elite arm, I still think he's really, really good. And that's why I think he does separate himself enough. Like, people will question, can he repeat? He had he had the forearm, but he had the BABIP that was below 300 for a ground ball guy. That's a little like, can you continue that success? The dude's got a 58% ground ball rate. To have a BABIP that low is, it's pretty fortunate, lucky, some might say. So I understand those concerns, but we're also talking about a guy that's continues to improve his pitch mix, continues to improve his pitching period each and every year, which is great. The swinging strike rate went up to almost 14%. Like, each and every year we're seeing gains in what Christopher Sanchez can do. He showed he can go from 180 and he's a 202. He's a workhorse. So I guess it comes down to, do you expect a 2.5 ERA? No, you should expect the low threes, which the projections give you. I think it's still very, very fair with Christopher Sanchez. I think the strikeouts will be fine. It just he has improved in that regard. So I still think he's one of the elite options. I get it if you don't want to take him because maybe it's not as big of a gap as you are saying. I get that. But, like, I still think he's the clear four for me over the rest. And if you want to take him, go for it. But, usually if I don't get one of the top three, I probably skip this whole next group personally.
Like all through 15? or just young
no, no. I'll jump back in towards the end of the top 15 here.
Yeah, that's what I've been doing too. Again, no shade on. I don't think it's a bad pick. I don't think it's a bad pick. Even Yamamoto to that extent either. But yeah.
All right, let's talk 6 through 10. Yeah, ADP 37 through 46. We're talking 9 to 10 picks here. For this, so this is when things get hot and heavy in your DCs. Logan Gilbert, Chris Sale, Hunter Brown might be one of the most polarizing starting pitchers drafted right now. Brian Wu and Jacob DeGrom. Like DeGrom talking about welcome back to the party after last year being drafted so late and that massive innings jump. But I have so many questions in this range outside of maybe Gilbert and Sale that I usually just pass right by most of this.
It's a fascinating range. The once we thought was once impenetrable Logan Gilbert had some forearm issues last year. Going back to my point, we cannot predict pitcher injuries, which is the inherent risk in taking any of these guys in a draft in January. We just do not know who's going to make it through spring training. Hopefully all of them, but most likely one or two going to get dinged up. So Logan Gilbert's a prime example of that. I think the price on Logan Gilbert's fine. It's interesting to see him, Sale, and Hunter Brown and Wu all within three picks. Like that's pretty wild. If I had to, I'd probably like Sale the most out of the group just because, of course, he's an old. But I think the skills are just the best of the bunch. And yes, he was hurt last year, but it was a broken rib cage, not arm related. Came back. Like, I think Chris Sale is my pick out of this group.
Yeah, I like Sale a lot as well. Like, yeah, there's the innings jump a couple years ago. He had the fluky injury last year. That was just an absolute joke of a situation. He is old, but it's also one of those guys, if he's healthy, he's just going to throw and throw and throw and throw. And I'm not too worried about that. Where Gilbert, there is a little slight, and this is why we're grasping at straws in this range. There was a little chink in the armor last year. We saw a little bit of susceptibility, but still was pretty darn elite, all things considered. Yeah. It's Hunter Brown that gets real interesting here. So I think we should probably talk about Hunter Brown because everybody thinks he's either an ace or shouldn't be drafted in like the top 70. So Hunter Brown, 185 innings last year. He's slowly ramped up like 15 plus innings every year. Love to see it. Ratios back-to-back years, very good. Last year, 2.43. Like, I wonder if it's more so people see 2.43 and say no. I'm like, yeah, sure, that's fine. Like, low threes right. is still pretty darn solid.
Right.
Yeah. Like, so I wonder if like that's the big argument people have with him, because like you look at him as a 28% K rate, he had a 25%, he's had a 27, a 27 and a half. He's had a great K rate every single season he's been around. His WHIP 103. Yeah, the previous two seasons, 127, 136. So again, I'm just pointing out what could be the problems here. He had a very low BABIP last year, so if there's regression in that regard, totally a possible thing. But again, similar to some of these other things with like a Christopher Sanchez or whatever, we're seeing improvements. 11.3% swinging strike rate last year was the best of his career. Like, he's gotten better in that regard. He's limiting contact better than he has in his entire career. So sometimes with these young pitchers, I think they just become better pitchers every single season. They adjust their pitch mix. So like, we've seen a skill and maybe he's improving a skill. So how is that a detriment is my question. I'm just trying to throw it out there because people are like just burying him wherever they can. And is he worth pick 38? Maybe not. But like, to say he's not one of these top 15 pitchers, I think it's pretty crazy at the same time.
Yeah, I've got Hunter Brown like 10 or 12, and I feel good about that. I think the biggest thing for me, and though he has been able to overcome it in other seasons in his career, Brown's swinging strike rate. You mentioned 11.5 or whatever was career best. That's still just league average, right? So like, he is just a guy who does not miss many bats. I just don't think like the K rate dropped from 32% for Hunter Brown in the first half last year down to 24%. In the second half, I actually had Hunter Brown's forecaster box and I ended it with use the second half as your baseline. And that's a 3.20 ERA, a 1.18 WHIP, and like a 24-25% strikeout rate with a lot of innings. And that's fine. It's not, yeah, it's still pretty good, especially in these draft and holds when you've got to do, you know, you need that anchor to actually deliver on the volume. The volume's consistently been there for Hunter Brown. He's only 27 years old. So like, if there is a profile that isn't going to break down, knock on wood, Hunter Brown is that profile. So I just think someone who is safe and is still going to get you good ratios on a decent team. Like, I think that's, is it worth the 38th pick? I don't know. But when you look at the guys going around Hunter Brown, I like him more than a good number of guys going after him. So I think he's honestly more or less properly priced. I don't really have like a take here. I think early on, like, he was a number five SP when we first like looked at ADP. And that one I was like, no, because I like Yamamoto, Sanchez, Gilbert, Sale more than Brown. But I think where he's settled is okay.
All right. You're the Brian Wu Whisperer. Are you still a fan at ADP 40? Because you know my thoughts.
It's funny, man. I have no shares of Brian Wu.
The things you love to hear.
It's just hard for me to click it in January. I want to see him. I want to see him pitch in spring training, and then I'll be on. Like, I think getting ahead of ourselves, one of the listener questions was like, what if there's no injuries and who would vault to the top? I think Brian Wu could be like a top three pitcher in all of baseball. If he is, if we know that he can pitch another 187 innings like he did last year. I think Brian Wu is that good, especially if you're in like quality starts leagues and wins leagues, like 15 wins last year. He pitches so deep into games. It's kind of an underrated skill that some of these other guys do not. So I still love Brian Wu on paper, but I still have not been able to click the name yet in January. I do just like, I worry about the five different forearm strains he's had in the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm. So last thing I'll mention, we've got DeGrom here wrapping out the top 10. Made that jump from 10 innings in 2024 to 172 innings last year. We saw him wear down as the season went along. So my question, I guess, because I have no DeGrom shares, I'm terrified, but at the same time, can we just say, hey, we saw Chris Sale do it. DeGrom's old. Like, they're going to do the same thing with that they did with Sale. I'm terrified of the DeGrom situation. I just want to throw that out there before we move on.
Yeah, I don't know. Another 170 inning. I know he had the procedure to fix everything and got to 173 last year for DeGrom. Wasn't the vintage DeGrom. Still very good DeGrom, but at 38, I'm more worried about DeGrom than I am for Chris Sale, oddly enough. And I had this decision in our current draft and hold in the fourth round. I did not have a pitcher yet. Pitchers were flying off the board. DeGrom by ADP was by far the pick, and I took Logan Webb instead. Just want the safety. It's just another, like, I'm so scared of drafting an early starting pitcher and having them bust, because that can kind of tank your entire rotation. I just worry about that happening. And somewhere in my gut, DeGrom just doesn't feel like an SP1, an anchor for me.
All right, let's go 11 through 15, ADP 47 through 61. Another round of picks here. Hunter Green, Cole Reagans, Logan Webb, Max Fried, and Freddie Peralta. This is where I don't mind starting my draft. There's at least three guys I have zero problem taking at this point in time. So I'll let you start, Ryan. Where would you like to get things going in this range?
Well, I'm going to talk about my guy, Logan Webb. I've got him number six among all starting pitchers. So Logan Webb led the National League in strikeouts last year. Could kind of do what he wants on the mound, as you know, Bubba. Like, if he wants to get K's, he can do that. If he wants to pitch efficiently, he can do that too. I think the win potential, the park, you love all that. The extreme ground ball rate is somewhat of a double-edged sword. I think it all but locks in a strong ERA, but you're going to get a somewhat elevated whip. I do think the, like, Logan Webb being a whip problem is a bit overblown. Like, I mean, you just look at the projections here. He's got the same whip projected as Max Fried, better than Peralta, basically the same as Cole Reagans, better than Hunter Brown. In the forecaster, we have this expected whip metric based on strikeouts, walks, and your batted ball trajectory, like ground balls and fly balls and whatnot. Logan Webb had a 111 X whip, and the whip has been above 120 each of the last two seasons, but the previous three for Logan Webb, it was 111, 116, 107. So I don't think the whip problem is that big of a deal. Like, yes, you maybe account for it with who you take with your SP 2 and 3, but I don't think it should stop you from making Logan Webb your SP 1, especially at the price.
especially with a 346 BABIP last year. That
exactly.
Quite the jump in that one. And yeah, I've seen Webb plenty, and not to mention the Giants are doing everything they can to make that defense better this season. So I love Webb. I'm with you. He's a workhorse until he'll prove it otherwise. And every year it's different. That's why I've always gone to bat for him when people say he can't strike guys out or he can't do this or that. The dude pitches, and he pitches to what needs to be done. And we've seen him do it all. Like, he's really, really good.
Like, and it's volume. Like, it's the age old. Yeah, the strikeout rate is low, but when you throw 205, 215 innings, it doesn't need to be a 30%. It's actually impossible to like have a 30% K rate and pitch that many innings because your pitch count gets so high. So
he's almost the new Sandy Alcantara these days. So kind of enjoy it.
Yeah.
I'll give Cole Reagan some love here because I know you're not I know you're not a fan. ADP of 49. People are loving them some Cole out there. If you look at like projections and everything, he rates out very well at the position. He's just a beast. I know he had the injury last year that people were concerned with, and I get it, but I'll just echo again, came back and made three starts. He had like a 45% K rate over those three starts, which was nuts. Still finished the year with a 38% K rate and a 30.4% K to walk. Yes, smaller sample size. Again, I understand all that because he was hurt throughout the season, but the fact he came back makes me very confident in what is going to take place here. He'll be 28 years old. Maybe he doesn't get you 180 innings, but if he gets me 150 to 160, this is like the DeGrom question from last year. Mm-hmm. Yeah. How many innings does he have to get you? With his strikeout ability, Cole Reagans only needs to play 150, 160 innings to be an elite option. He doesn't have to be a 200-inning workhorse this season. Just get back to the basics, and he can be very, very good at pick 49. Like, this is the old Freddy Peralta. Hey, can Freddy get me 150? Cool, we're in. And I think Reagans is obviously a little better than Freddy. That's why they're going a little bit apart, but they're close. Like, I love Cole Reagans. Not a whole lot more to add there. I think he's going to be absolutely outstanding this season, and you got to believe the reports. He's healthy. And for now, like you said, it's just kind of like Brian Wu. Be nice to see him pitch a little bit, but at least we saw him at the end of the season on a healthy note.
Say, well, you don't have to believe the reports that he's healthy. There's a chance he's not. I'm a glass half full guy, Ryan. That's commendable.
I'm the opposite of Dr. Dave. Dr. Dave would tell me I'm a fool. He's hurt. Yeah, no.
I don't know if he's hurt or not. I just know that he missed 3 months with a shoulder and did come back with the three starts. It was 13 innings, so it was very abbreviated starts. Did not get a procedure to clean anything up. Did the shoulder just magically heal in the season? I don't know. Maybe it did. And you're right. If Cole Reagans gets to 150, 160 innings, that's all you need from him. I fully agree with that point. I just think, I don't know, of anyone going in this top 15 injury-wise, he's the one that scares me the most, even more than Wu. I mean, we've talked about it. We have a beer bet. We have a Brian Wu versus Cole Reagans beer bet. So
it's looking forward to it.
Written down. I mean, dude, Wu threw 187 innings, man.
Yep, that was last season. I want to talk Freddie. Are we cool talking Freddie?
Yeah, it's your guy.
Okay. Freddy Peralta, this is a guy that I saw a stat today that warmed my heart. Eric Cross tweeted out, only two pitchers have thrown at least two or collected at least 200 strikeouts in the last three seasons. Two of the guys I draft more than anybody, and Freddy Peralta and Dylan Cease. I love Freddy. This is one of the years where he's kind of priced up for once, ADP 61, which is high for him. But I know we talked about him on the review show. I think I kind of changed the tune a little bit. It's been at least 165 innings the last 3 years, got to 176 last year. Ratios of basically even his entire career, like at least the last five or six seasons, all below four, usually like 3.5, 3.6 or below. He's got a couple in the twos, which is great. And everyone says he's a whip killer. 108, 121, 112, 104, 0.97, 116. Those are not whip killers, folks. Hate to break it to you. So he gets your strikeouts, gets you really good ratios. And now he's going to the Mets. Now, if that's a good or a bad thing, we'll see. I know their middle of the infield is good defensively. So you got that going for you. I think he might have better chance for win. Like, Brewers were had the most wins in baseball last year. So who am I to say that? But I think the Mets will still be pretty good.
Yeah, agree. Yeah.
So I think he's great. I think it's a phenomenal pick. To me, he is one of those guys. I know we have questions later on in the show and whatnot, but if you want to try to pick someone that could enter the elite range, he's one of those guys. Why can't he be Christopher Sanchez Yamamoto next year to me?
Interesting. I think of Freddie as more kind of a lower ceiling, high floor guy, like someone who's just very stable at 60 is honestly a great pick. I've got him my number 11 starting pitcher. So I don't see like a next level up. I think the walk rate really needs to improve. And Freddie Peralta has consistently been like a 9% walk rate guy. That's just going to be tough to be elite when you walk that many guys like your boy Dylan Cease. But I mean, that's a very minor quibble. He gives up, he's a fly ball guy. So sometimes that hurts you with homers, but that's what helps your whip. So I think Freddie Peralta, if you want to wait till pick 60, take Peralta as your SP1. Fully on board with that. I don't know if there's like a huge, especially from last year, man. I don't think he's touching another 2.70 ERA.
No, but 3.2, 3.3.
I've got him down for 3.5. So yeah, something like that.
Play on the high end, but fair enough. Anybody else in this range you want to talk Green or Freed in this one?
I mean, what do you think of Hunter Green? I'm not drafting him, but like.
He's the guy I said about the thing about Freddie. Hunter Green could be one of the top pitchers in baseball if he gives us 160 innings.
100%. But he's never thrown more than 150.
Yep.
Minors included, at least in the last 5 years. I don't know what he did before that, but that scares the hell out of me.
Yeah, he is the ultimate ceiling, high ceiling, low floor pick. That's what he is. Like, if you want to go for the gusto, everyone goes, if you want an overall pick. I don't even know if that's the case with him. It's just if you want to shoot for the moon and go for a guy that could just blow people out of the water. Yeah, that's Hunter Green, but just be prepared. He could also sink your battleship at the same time.
Yep.
All right, 16 through 20, ADP 64 through 72, so 8 picks apart. George Kirby, Joe Ryan, Jesus Lizard, Blake Snell, Kyle Bradish. Now, this is a range that I know I and yourself have gone shopping in quite a bit.
And frequently taking one from the last group, so like a Webb Freddie, not Reagan's, of course, but then pairing them since, you know, theoretically you're one of the last in your league to take a starting pitcher. If you take one of those guys, go right back to the well and kind of double tap with an early SP2 here. I like pretty much all these guys with the exception of Blake Snell. I never liked Blake Snell. Yeah. I don't know what I'm going to get from him on either year by year basis, month by month basis. So I just don't like that. But the other four here, Kirby, Joe Ryan, Lizardo, and Kyle Bradish, I am very much happy to grab those guys as my SP2.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't have any Kirby. I guess I don't know. I'm still sketchy after last year's. Maybe he figures it out this season. It was very, very, if he wasn't facing the Angels, things got ugly with George Kirby, but he was dealing with coming back from injury and everything. So maybe I should see otherwise, but I don't want to force it when I love Joe Ryan. I love Jesus Lizardo. Like, I have so many shares of those two guys. I've double tapped them. I paired them with Freddie. I've paired them with Logan Webb, to your point. Like, these are guys I love. Like, Joe Ryan, he had the shoulder issue, but still got to the innings. He continues to do it year after year. Home runs will always be an issue, but strikeouts will be elite. And I think Lizardo is just an absolute monster. He had those two horrible starts. Other than that, was so good, and might have been even better in this after those two horrible starts than it was before those two horrible starts. Like, he's one of the few guys in this second half of the list that I could see getting you 200 strikeouts this year. Yep. And that 3.75 ERA might be high. Like, I could see that being lower. I think it's all about health with Lizardo, and he did it last year. Like, he's another like top 10 pitcher for me if he stays healthy all season. So love Ryan, love Lizardo.
Yeah, I've got Lizardo down for like a 3.70 ERA, 1.20 WHIP, 28% K rate on a good team. That comes out to 14th on my starting pitchers. So yeah, full agree on Lizardo. Everyone talks about those two outings. That's what sticks in everyone's craw. First thing I think of when you see two random outings in a row that are bad is you're tipping. You were good before that. Yeah, you're good before that. You're good after that. Like, I'm not really worried about it. They were rough outings. It was 20 earned runs, but. Yeah, full agree on Lizardo. What's so I took Kyle Bradish as my SP2.
I was gonna ask
draft in here. Yeah. So like we've got a little side text between me, you, and Tid as we're going. Yeah. And you know, every now and then, good pick, whatever. No feedback on my Bradish pick. So What's your take on Kyle Bradish? I took him. I don't have the sheet up, but I guess I took him in the.
I got the sheet.
The end of the fifth round, so 74th overall.
Yep, 74th overall. If you're looking at the recent ADPs, you have the 74th. He's gone 61st all the way to 86. So he's been in that range. So you got him kind of smack dab in the middle.
Yep,
give or take. I'm insanely torn about Bradish, so I usually pass because I go Lizardo or Ryan. Because for me, it's like I'm seeing the injury history. 32 innings last year, 39 in the third of the year before. Yeah, there's the minor leagues could come into play there with Bradish. Let me expand. So he had 54 innings last year. If you want to do the minors and the bigs, that's not really making me feel warm and fuzzy. Now, the skills are great. Knocking that out. He's had a sub-3 ERA in three seasons. Small samples the last two, but those are great. Strikeouts are great. Like, again, skills, phenomenal. What can we get out of him this year is my biggest question. And at ADP 72, it's not like you're paying a premium, but it's still your SP2 where there's other guys around him that I know, barring injuries, can give me innings. I don't know what Bradish's innings are. They're still looking for more starting pitching because I think they know they need rotation help. So that's my only concern with Bradish. The skills, zero problem with.
So do you feel safer with Cole Reagans than you do with Kyle Bradish?
100%, yes.
Why?
Well, Kyle Bradish is coming off, was it second TJ? Or at least his first. Was it second or no?
TJ.
It was his second or his first?
Oh, I think it was second. I think it was his first.
It was first. Okay, fine. But I don't know. This is where, you know, my biases can come into play, and we all have them. But Bradish, it was also one of those with – let me pull up the game logs here because I remembered something towards the end of the year. Yeah, they really weren't letting him go. It was like four innings in his last start. He got 1-7 and 2-6 innings, but a lot of limited starts in there. But he looked great. Not going to knock it. Looked great. But and he beat up on the bad Yankees. They weren't even that good at the end. I was kidding. But Bradish is fine. I don't know what to expect. I'm seeing 32 innings, 39 innings. It's just
so I feel more confident in Bradish's health than I do Cole Reagans, mostly because
he had the surgery.
I mean, yeah. and you look at innings. I mean, look at what DeGrom did last year. He had the surgery, spiked up to 180. Like, I think Bradish is completely healthy right now. He had the surgery. He got it fixed. He threw like 30. What was it last year? 32 major league innings. 51 if you include the minors. I'm more confident in that than the 13 innings of a non-surgery Reagans. So we'll see. I could very well be wrong, but that's just so listeners out there kind of get our reasoning behind it. Is that that's why I'm not too worried about Bradish's innings total. I think he's healthy. He got it fixed, and we're good to go. Could be wrong.
And just for fun, because I agree with you on this next part, but I just want to compare and contrast. Why would you prefer Bradish over Blake Snell, who hasn't been really injured?
Because Blake Snell, I mean, he has been injured, hasn't he?
Yeah, no surgeries.
Oh yeah,
it almost feels like phantom stents. It's like his oblique or his hip or something. It's nothing.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's rarely ever shoulder or elbow related. Is my point.
I don't know. Yeah, no, it's true. It's true. But like, I don't know, Snell. He had the one 180 inning season.
Twice.
Yeah, that's true. Tampa.
Two Cy Young seasons.
It's way back. But the last 5 years, since COVID, he's only gone above 130 innings once. And like, even there, like,
Bradish.
Even there, I do like the skills aren't, there's skill volatility with Snell. He can be great, but he also can't be at times.
I just wanted to throw it out there because they're right next to each other.
I know. But no, I don't trust Blake Snell at all. Especially in non IL leagues where you know Snell's going to miss time. Mm-hmm. I'm good.
No, that's fine. All right. 21 through 25, ADP 73 through 93. So we're starting to space it out a little more in this pocket. The not chosen as an SP1, but should be an SP1, Dylan Cease at ADP 73. Spencer Schwellenbach at 80, another guy that didn't get cut on that I'm curious about. Yuri Perez at 84, Nick Pivetta at 90, and Framber doesn't like his catcher and can't sign with the team, Valdez at 93. So what about this range for you? Because, again, I don't mind. Swellenbach's the only one I really have a question about in this entire range.
Yeah, agreed. Framber, I've loved Framber a ton. I still think he's going to be fine. I do. The second half was pretty rough for Framber last year, but could it given the track record of Framber, it's not. So Freddy Peralta's second half in 2024 was pretty bad, and given the track record of Freddy Peralta, he bounced right back. I think Framber has earned that trust, at least from fantasy players, not teammates, and he's going to sign somewhere. I'm not worried about that at all. Pivetta, I think, is fine. Like, no, he's not going to have another sub three ERA, but I think that's someone who can get you a ton of Ks with good ratios as an SP2. Yuri Perez has a ceiling, man. Like, obviously the track record isn't there from like a Dylan Cease or Framber standpoint, but Yuri Perez ceiling and how he looked at the end of last year was really impressive. I'll leave Dylan Cease to you. Schwellenbach, I'm not sure what to do either. It was like a bone injury. So like, I don't know. I don't know what's going on, but we didn't see him is basically the biggest thing. I guess supposedly Spencer Schwellenbach was throwing bullpens or whatever by the end of the season, but we did not actually see him pitch in a game. And so that just scares me at an ADP of 80, at least right now. Maybe we see Schwellenbach in spring and velocity looks good. I'd be a little bit more willing to take Schwelly, but not right now.
Yep, that's where I'm at. Like, I was very much in on Schwelly last year, pitched fine while he was there. Then he had that injury and we never saw him again. So that just leaves me, at least with Bradish and Reagans, we got to see them finish the season, which gives me more confidence. But the Schwellenbach, very, very good if we know he's good to go. I agree with Yuri, between the minors and the bigs, through 117 innings last year, he should be aligned for close to 150. And he's kind of got that. Hunter Green's better, but there's a lot of similarities for me between those two with skill sets, weirdly enough. So, like both of them. Pivetta, talked about him at FPAS. He got a ton of home run luck in his favor this past year. Still will be very good, as you said, but not what he did. Framber, I took as my SP2 in the recent draft we're in. I just think he's just fine and should, I'd hope, bounce back. But yes, Dylan Cease, everybody. Dylan Cease. I know that's what everybody came here for, was to hear me talk about him for the upteenth time. But first off, if you didn't know, Toronto Blue Jay, Dylan Cease, which is a plus, actually, I think, on this one, because it's should be a better defense for him this season. But this is a guy we talked about a lot even last season. It's like you saw the 4.55 ERA, but his underlying metrics suggested he should have been closer to 3.5 in those regards. He had a 320 BABIP, which it's like every other year he has a bad BABIP, so he got BABIP to death. His left on base rate, 69%, was not nice in that regard. His walk rate was pretty much in line with most things he does. It's never great, but with that ground ball rate, that became a problem because the striking rates, he still nearly had a 20% K to walk with a 9.8% walk rate. So he had a 1.33 whip. It's an every other year thing with Cease. It was 107 the year before. He has the skills to be an ace. He also has the skills to hurt you, as we saw last season. So he's the kind of guy I don't mind gambling on, because I'll say the annoying thing out loud, 5 straight years of 200 plus strikeouts. Like, he is just a hoss in that regard. So if I can get him late, rack up my strikeouts, and hopefully we get on the positive side of BABIP, I think you're in for a big season from Dylan Cease. It's just the roller coaster and the risk you take with him, but it's a risk that, knock on wood, it's not an injury risk. It's just like, hey, does the ground ball get to the infielder or not, is where it's going to go, and then see where it goes from next. If you walk a guy, give up a couple of ground ball singles, well, there's a run, and that's just the unfortunate truth to the situation. But the skills did not decline at all last year, and that's why I will still continue to bet on him at an ADP of 73, because if he did get the BABIP luck, he'd be getting drafted in around the 50-ish mark, I think,
yes,
in the
73. Agreed. Yes,
so that's absolutely. Where I look at Dylan Cease and go, yes, I will take him as my SP1, even though he's not drafted as an SP1.
You just really need to at least plan for the ratio, the potential for ratio damage.
That's why I took Framber, like, hoping because outside of last year, Framber usually has good whips. Usually, I was hoping for Shota, but then you took him. I almost took Gossman instead of Framber, but I took Framber instead. So yeah,
well, you knew I was gonna. Yeah, no, Framber ratio wise has been 116, 113, 111 WHIP the previous three seasons before this year, and great ERA. So no, it makes sense. I just think I just think if you take Cease, I think it's a fine play, because the good Dylan Cease is, yes, not an ADP of 73, like you said. A good Dylan Cease is a top 10 starting pitcher, and he's done it before. He's done it twice, I believe, and you're getting that guy on a great team at 30 years old at pick 73. I like it. But just I think you just, with the rest of your starting pitcher picks, you need to lean a little bit more to counterbalance the potential for bad ratios from Cease.
And I'll throw it out this also. So like in the draft room where I took Cease, and again, it was a great season last year, and who knows where it'll be, but like I took Chapman as my closer. Like, dude had a sub-1 whip. Like if we, I don't know if he'll be that good again this year, but if he also provides
me. That could matter. That can.
So like you start correlating those, like the elite closers get so many innings. That helps as well.
That's a very good point, because and usually if you take Dylan Cease as your SP1, that means you probably already took a closer as your first pitcher, depending on how you're kind of drafting. But so that's a good point.
All right, 26 through 30. Another guy that's kind of polarizing out there. The first young gun, really, because like I don't count Yuri. We've seen Yuri. This is like the first guy 1 year under his belt. Nolan McLain, ADP of 99. Spencer Strider, 104. Woodruff, 112. Burns, 115. Gospin, 116. This is a range where I have not played much in.
Yeah, same. I don't like anybody except for Gospin, I guess. Gospin has some bad projections, too. Look at those things.
Yeah, I don't believe it. I think he feels like he projects badly every year because everyone, you know, the splitter volatility, the ground, like all the stuff he does, and he continues to just... Every year he seems to be outdo his metrics is what it comes down to.
Yeah, Gossman's projected on our screen, projected for a 4.13 ERA, 1.25 whip. I've got Gossman for a 3.60 ERA and a 1.20 whip. And I do all of, I probably should have mentioned this at the top, my process for pitchers, I project all these guys manually. Unlike hitters, I just kind of lean on their projection systems. Pitchers, I go through all of them and do my own best guess. So I'm much higher on Gossman than the projections here show. So Nolan McLain, we've had some debates, some battles over Nolan McLain in the Discord leading up last couple weeks. For me, the price is a little bit too rich for someone with 48 major league innings and a history of shaky walk rates. I know walk rates in the minors can be a little bit different in the majors, but like didn't show pinpoint control by any means when he was up in the majors, and didn't really miss many bats either. It's kind of that like Hunter Brown thing where it was an 11.1% swinging strike for Nolan McLain last year. I don't think that supports what do you have, like a 30% strikeout rate? Like I think that strikeout rate's coming way down. I think drafters are thinking that strikeout rate's going to continue, and I just don't. So I think Nolan McLain's fine long term. I just think for 2026 at pick 99, it's too rich for me.
I don't mind it if he's your SP2 and obviously you're game planning for what you're doing. I think there is a nice ceiling to Nolan McLain.
Oh yeah. Yes.
Because you look at between the minors and the bigs, he threw 161 innings last year. Yep. So for the young guys, there should be no concerns in that regard. Now, will he be as good as a 2.06 ERA? No, I agree with you there. Like that's fool's gold, but even and throughout the minors, he's had the walk issues. To your point, that's what a lot of these guys have had the walk issues. That's why I stay away from most of these guys. But out of all the young guys, I like him the most. Since he's also going the highest out of all the young guys, so it checks out. But a lot of concerns, yes. Do I think he could be very good? Yes. I think having Peralta and company there to kind of help him in that rotation doesn't hurt by any means.
Sure.
Because I think a month or so ago, it felt like it was the Nolan McLain show and who else. Now you got at least Peralta to help him there. He still could probably use a few more arms, but that gives him some. So I don't hate it that much. Like I really don't want to trust Chase Burns. Now again, electric. That guy scares me. We'll talk Miz next week and some other or Thursday and some other guys. They concern me a lot. McLain, I still trust, but the walks are a massive concern.
And for as much as I just shaded McLain, I will agree with you that I like him the most out of any of the young starting pitchers.
I was like, if I'm going to do it, he'd be the one.
He'd be the one. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's like right ahead of him, like Valdez, Pivetta, and company. Or you say, screw it, take a bat and come back to Gossman or some guys we'll talk about Thursday that I know will like a lot better. Yeah. Strider, I don't trust. Now, could he do it this year? Maybe. I need to see it because – the velocity was bad. He was very hittable. It was just all a disaster all over. I know he got the pitch count up. His innings were up. Great. And it's a year removed from TJ, so maybe I should buy in and be like, okay, he got that year under his belt. Here we go. It just looked like a lost soul out there last year. So it's not for me. Woodruff, if healthy, great. But if healthy is a gigantic thing with him. So Gossman's the only one I really like in this range, and I think the projections don't do him justice.
Agreed. Chase Burns is also that if healthy. You don't want to pick someone in the top 120 as your SP2 with the preface of if healthy. So Chase Burns, immense talent. Woodruff, old, but I think both pretty legitimate health risks. And I agree on Strider. I need to see that he's at least somewhat the Strider of old before I go back there.
All right, before we give our final thoughts on the position, the moment we've all been waiting for, let's do the listener questions, and bear with me, everybody, as I try to.
You sounded like dejected, but I think you're trying to find all the questions in the thing. So,
John Wilder, more with a statement. Please continue to talk down Reagan's and Bradish. Would love to see those prices drop. Sorry, can't help you there. Steve Brunn, who is in the top 30? Who in this top 30 is a never pick? So we'll start there.
A never pick? Man. I mean, I guess for me this year, it's going to be Reagan's.
Yeah, it'll be Woo for me. But it's a price tag slash other factors there.
Yeah.
But then his second part, who in this top 30 doesn't even finish in the top 60 this year?
So, I mean, without naming names, a lot of these guys won't. I mean, the injuries will ravage a lot of this pitching board. So injuries aside, I would say in terms of just like skills outside the top 60, I would say Spencer Strider.
Yeah, I was going to say him, or I'll say Chase Burns. I think Chase Burns is.
Yeah, I just don't know the volume.
He might spend time in AAA if things aren't working well for him. Aaron Gifts says, I'm usually a wait on pitching guy, but this feels like a good year to start a draft with one of the top three studs. Do you agree? If so, which of the three is least likely to get hurt? Well, I wish I knew the answer to that part, but do you feel that it's a good year to start with a elite three, or is it still kind of business as usual?
For me, I think it's a good year for Scooble or Crochet. I don't know if Skeens separates himself enough. Could very well be wrong with that. But I think, yeah, in general, those top three are top three for a reason, and they are properly going in the first round because there is a big gap between them and the next group.
Yeah, I don't know how much Scooble I'll have just because I don't go that early, but I could see myself living in a world creating some Crochet in the back end of round one. I could, he's getting moved up now too, though, so I could end up getting none of them, but that's where I see it.
Oh, these guys are all going to move up the closer we get to spring training.
So I might not get any actually, because there's at least five or six hitters I'd like to take before one of these guys more often than not. Canton Dog says, which pitcher in this group is going to get injured and will miss more than half of the season? Beer bet opportunity. I'm not going to wish that juju on anybody. I'm sorry. I can't go there.
Yeah, we've already beat our beer bet to death of Woo versus Reagan, so we'll see. Hopefully none of them, but.
Yeah. Lucas Beery says, which projection do you look at and ignore? Which ones do you look at and which ones do you ignore and draft away? Which projections do you look at and ignore on and draft away? Conversely, who has a good projection, but you're saying no way, Jose? So, like, if you see it by Gossman, we don't agree with this projection. We're just drafting anyways, per se.
Yeah, I think Gossman would be the answer to that question.
On this board for sure.
Yeah, a couple others, like a Nick Pivetta 3.94 ERA, I think is a little bit out of whack. I think he's more a mid-threes guy. A Framber 124 whip, probably a little bit high. Yamamoto with only 168 Ks, that's probably a little bit low. But again, I haven't really looked too much at these projections because I do my own, and that's what I look at.
I think Freddie's ERA is too high too.
370.
But I'm biased there. Which ones do you think are too low, just for fun?
In terms of like ratios?
He's just projections in general. So you're probably saying Cole Reagan's.
I mean, the Reagan's projection's fine. It's honestly, I think it's pessimistic on Reagan's, a 3.42 ERA, a 1.17 whip. It's just the innings.
I think Chase Burns whip's way too low.
What's that?
116.
116.
Yeah. I think he's got so many walk issues, I wouldn't go there. Andy Splinter says, who's the last pitcher you're willing to walk away with as an SP1?
As an SP1, I would say
it out loud. Say it out loud, Ryan.
Say Freddie.
Dylan Cease.
Yep.
I know that whip's not your cup of tea, but
no, the whip's not my cup of tea. And like you'd have, I think you have to come back very quickly and get your SP2. And sometimes, depending on where you're at in the draft, you may not be able to do that. Now, in an auction, it's a totally separate type deal. But I just think if you wait till Dylan sees for your SP1, if there's a chance you don't get like Yuri, Pivetta, Framber coming back, you're starting to get in trouble. So I'd feel much better about Cease as an SP2.
A Freddie Cease start is just what dreams are made of. I'm just going to throw that out there. Jesus. Matt says Sanchez's career K to walk and K percentages are lower than his peers in the top 10. Any concerns there? I don't, but you kind of mentioned some slight concerns there.
I mean, Sanchez makes up for it with an elite ground ball rate. And I think that just that helps your strikeout minus walk a ton. So, no, I think Christopher Sanchez deserves a spot there. It's just, again, I'm grabbing bats at that point and just waiting for what I don't think is a major drop off with like a Logan Webb or Freddie going 30 picks two rounds later. I'd rather get my bats there.
That's fair. Timothy says, is DeGrom 2025 future DeGrom, or is there underlying numbers suggesting a more dominant version in 2026?
I don't think there's a more dominant version at 38 years old.
I think if you can get 2025, you walk away.
Yes.
You skip away from that one happy.
Yes. I think just pure age, but then also, I mean, what are the odds he throws 173 again? Yeah. That worries the hell out of me.
He wore down a lot last year towards the end.
Home run issues in the second half. Yep.
Yep. James Oss says, which types of injury risks scare you off, or are you okay with it in this range? Which type of injury risks are you worried about in this range?
He asked like large innings, velo, forearm strain. So which types, like for me, the biggest things, and I know Wu kind of talking out both ends here. For me, it's the strains that don't get fixed are the biggest ones for me. As opposed to like, we've seen velo increase, we've seen large innings before, and that has turned out to be fine. We've seen plenty of Tommy John returns, especially 2 years after Tommy John. I'm really not worried about that at all. That's the Kyle Bradish thing. And I know DeGrom's in there too, but DeGrom, I think he's just so
old.
It's a separate discussion. But yeah, for me, it's the kind of moderate forearm strain, shoulder strain that shelves you for 3 months, like Cole Reagan's, and is not fixed surgically, is the biggest fear for me for injuries.
All right. I just play with my biases. I try not to draft in. Like, Reagan's is pretty much the only one on this entire board that I'd be in on if you guys paid attention there with any injury concerns whatsoever. Garrett K says, when building out a rotation, do you ever take into account how many pitchers you have from one team? I.e., you start with Green and Burns, where you push down someone like Lodolo, are not a consideration. I usually don't care. Like, do I plan on it? But I usually don't care. If a pitcher's good, a pitcher's good in my books.
Yeah, I agree. I've not thought about that before, as opposed to like stacking hitter. That's maybe more of a best ball type thing. But no, I don't. If I've got three Mariners, I would grab a fourth Mariner happily.
Like last year, we were joking, you should draft the whole rotation in Seattle and you'd be happy. So, if it's great pitching, it's great pitching in my mind. Yeah. SMMS79 says, if we were playing a video game with injuries off, who do you think jumps the highest, moves the most in your personal rankings? Cole Reagan's, right?
That's a great question by Mark. I would say either Hunter Green or Cole Reagan's, actually. Yeah.
Yep. It's Cole's a top. I'd probably have him at number four if I was completely happy with all the possible concerns there.
Or Brian Wu, too.
Wu, I'd buy, yes. If I knew he wasn't going to get hurt, I'd be able to buy into Brian Wu for once. Adam BR says, how many strikeouts or plus ratio stats does it take to make up for the lack of wins from your starting pitcher? Thinking Skeens, Joe Ryan, Yuri Perez, etc. Guys with team win questions. It's okay if there's no real answer, too many factors for me to calculate anyways. Thanks. So how do you factor in wins, I guess, when you're drafting a player?
That's how I'll kind of answer. And I do this manually for each pitcher. I look at, I mean, there's a couple things. I think the biggest thing is your pitcher able to pitch deep into games? Right. I think that by far is the most important thing. I think even if you're on a great team, like even if you're on the Dodgers and you five and dive, still probably not a great chance that A, your team is going to have the lead when you leave after five and hold it for an entire half of the game. It's just not a, like, the probability of that is kind of tough. So you need a pitcher who pitches deep into games. Again, that's why I love Logan Webb so much, because for Sanchez, another one there. Brian Wu. And they need to be on a good team. I mean, dude, Wu had like 20, like whatever it was, whatever the streak was.
I was just laughing because you mentioned him again. I'm just like, hey, it's a drinking game.
Yeah. Well, I wish. Take a shot of NyQuil every time I mention Brian Wu. I won't make the Thursday show.
That'd make for a good show.
So yeah, as a pitcher able to pitch deep in the games, they pitch on a good team. Those are the by far the biggest two. And then I do look at bullpen strength, even though that's bullpens can be extremely variant. So that's more of like a tertiary thing. But you got to pitch deep, got to be on a good team. And I will bump win totals significantly for that. And that matters.
He does projections. I don't. But yeah, like it's more like if it's a tiebreaker for me, if I think the skills are both very good, that player I think sits on a better team for win potential, I will push ahead of the other person.
I spend as much time on wins as I do ERA and WHIP. Maybe I shouldn't, but I don't know. Yeah.
You did pretty well last year, buddy. Mailman Mike says, which starters on the list could potentially have their WHIPs go in the wrong direction? Well, Dylan Cease is always towards the top of that list. Like, that's the thing. At least I love the guy, but I'm not like hiding anything. Like, I'm very clear on how this could go wrong.
Snell's another one that can go south. Snell could be
a whip killer. Yeah, 100%.
Nolan McClain could be a whip killer. Ton of ground balls and a ton of walks. I mean, that's not good for your whip. In general, I like ground ball guys, and Nolan McClain had like a 60% ground ball rate. It's just a byproduct of putting the ball on the ground. Those by far, that type of batted ball is the highest chance to go for a hit outside of obviously a line drive. But
I think a guy that, you know, the last 2 years have been great, but we saw early in his career or not great, a guy if the control is still off, that doesn't give up a lot of ground balls, but Hunter Green can surprise you in that department as well. If things aren't going his way. Yeah. So just want to throw that one out there too. Lang says, how many top 30 starters are you trying to get on your teams? I go two.
I would go two, though. In a straight draft, though, in an auction, I could see you trying to budget like three $20 starters and seeing what you can get there. It's a little tough because then you probably don't have enough budget for a closer.
And so your closing situation changes tremendously.
Yeah, so it's a little bit tough, but I like that low $20 in an auction, ADP-wise, like 50 through 90. There's a lot of guys I like there, so definitely two, but I could see pushing it to three if you can make the numbers work.
Yep, agreed. BP says, do you think Chris Sale can finish right up there alongside the big three?
100%. Yeah, absolutely.
A couple years ago.
Yep.
Nails says, which pitcher outside the top 10 in the projections could you finish top five? My vote would be Reagans. Well, duh.
What was the question? Nails?
Which pitcher outside the top 10 could finish in the top five?
Okay. Cole Reagans, duh, he says. I will say I don't think Peralta can finish top five.
Lizardo,
he's good enough. I would say Lizardo or Yuri Perez.
Perez is the one when we did our top 20 rankings. I said he could be a top five. Like if he just somehow put together like 170 innings, that means he stayed healthy. He's got the skills to be a monster.
Yeah, and so. I mean I've mentioned Hunter Green already, but a little less confidence in that. So
yeah, and he's with you there as well. All right, final thoughts on the position before we wrap it up. It's obviously the top 30, just not a ton of holes to
right.
But we had to pick. We picked where we could. Let's put it that way. But for the most part, it's pretty elite. And pick your poison is the way I would say.
Yeah, and I think make sure the biggest takeaway: make sure you get. You get two of these guys because pitching does start to drop quickly, as we'll see starting on the Thursday episode. And then just kind of figure out what you want to do in terms of a draft plan. If you have like your draft slot already or if in an auction, think about is the Scooble Skeens crochet trio, the separation, is that good enough to where you're willing to pull that trigger? Or would you rather wait until kind of this fourth, fifth round where there's a ton of good starting pitchers going there? So just kind of look through and see where you like the pockets the most and target those in your drafts. I personally would love to take two starting pitchers from 50 to 90. I think that's a decent way to attack the pool this year.
And like, I think for every draft or every position and everything for your drafts, drafting backwards, we talk about like building your plan, and we'll do pockets ADP. I think pitching is very important because, like, to your point of like, what do you want to settle with? Going backwards and knowing what you're cool with being like your fifth, sixth, seventh pitchers will give you a much better hint on what you should take as your first two. I think like what pitchers do you like later on that can get you K's or the ratios won't kill you or so on and so forth. We'll let you know what you could gamble with or not gamble with earlier in the draft. And that'd be a way to do it. Cause like outfield, we talked about there's pockets you can do and, you know, get your early shortstop, so on and so forth. Pitching, there's a lot of like globs of pitching this year where you get to certain spots, they all feel the same. We'll figure out which ones you want, cause that'll end up pairing easier with what you have up here.
Mm-hmm. And then last thing I would add, just be mindful of what type of pitcher you're, and this kind of goes to your work backwards thing a little bit too. Like, just be mindful of what type of pitcher you're taking and how to kind of counterbalance that. It's not as intricate as like projecting and staying balanced with like batting average, homers and steals on the pitcher side, but just try not to draft two of similar starting pitchers. I like to kind of balance that out with different traits and the whip guys, strikeout guys. If you take one who is a perceived injury risk, your other one should probably be like a Dylan Cease, a Framber type that you can, you think you can rely on.
Definitely. But all right, we'll wrap it up there. Thanks everybody for listening. Thanks for joining us in the chat. We'll be back with you guys Thursday evening with part two, 31 through 60 on this one. And then a reminder at PitchCon on Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific time. Come join us there as well. Support the cause, raising some money for ALS as we do each and every year over there on PitchCon. And then follow Ryan on Twitter at RyanBHQ, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom. I'm BD Intrick. This was Bubba in the Bloom, episode 313. Catch y'all next time.